Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 32 today. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 32. And here the Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not a sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the reading of your word this morning. I'm praying now that you help us, Lord, that you'll guide us in this message. Lord, illuminate the scripture for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been studying in Genesis in Sunday school for 56 weeks on all the things that transpire in Genesis. And we have been speaking about Jacob quite heavily here in the last few weeks. And as you know, previous to this, Jacob had spent time with living at his father-in-law's house, Laban, for the past 20 years. He's been working for him for the last 20 years. Finally, it's time for him to go. He wants to go back to where his homeland is in Canaan, the land that belongs to him, that was promised to him by God through his father, his grandfather Abraham, and his father Isaac, and then Jacob becomes the one that receives the blessings through God's blessings. Well, 20 years has passed by, and he has accumulated a lot of wealth. We just studied in Sunday school this past Sunday night, which, by the way, our Sunday schools are at night now on Sunday nights. But this past Sunday night, we studied on that, how about the streaked and the spotted and the speckled cattle, the sheep and goats, and how Jacob accumulated much wealth because the Lord blessed him for how he worked there. And so now he not only does he have all this wealth and servants, but he also has two wives, he has two concubines, and he has 11 sons and one daughter at this point. He'll have another son not long after this, Benjamin, be the youngest. But Joseph at this point is the youngest, and so he's got all these children, these servants, these wives, and all these goods, and he's leaving from Laban's place, and he's traveling back toward Canaan. Well, there's a few things that's going to happen before he gets home. One of those is he's going to be confronted by his biggest nightmare, which is his brother, his twin brother, by the way, Esau, whom he is very afraid of. And we all know the story. He cheated him out of his birthright. And he cheated him out of his blessings by his father. And so Jacob has been a cheater. And that's what his name means. He's a deceiver. That's what his name means. And so, as we know, all the way from his mother's womb, where they were fighting within themselves, or with themselves in the womb, all the way to where they were young boys, and then as they grown up to be men, all this contention and fighting, and finally Jacob has to run and hide from his brother because his brother intends to kill him. Well, now he has to face that same brother 20-something years later. And Jacob's not the same man he once was. He has still been living a life of deceitfulness. His whole life has been that way. He's over 100, I think he's around 140 years old at this time. I know he's at least 130, but he's an old man at this point in time, but his whole life has been filled with deceiving people and watching out for himself, number one. But God has been slowly working with this man to change him. He's molding him into the spiritual man that he needs him to be the leader of his called people, Israel, which is what God's going to call him, as we read in our text. So all of this transpired, and Esau is up ahead. He's already been spotted. The word comes back to Jacob and says, "Your brother Esau is up ahead." And so he's in fear of his life. So we didn't read it in our opening text, but Genesis 32, 22 through 23 says this. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So he gets all of his goods, his family, all of his servants, sends them over this brook. He stays on the other side. He's got to spend some alone time. Jacob needs to get away, and he needs to spend one-on-one time with God. Now, he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that it's the Lord he's needing to spend time with. But God has directed his actions for this very moment in time because God has set all this up. This wasn't a happenstance or circumstance. It was providence by God that he do this thing. And so, as I said, Jacob spent most of his life being a deceiver. But now he's going to spend the remainder part of his life doing that what God wants him to do. Now, it started already when he started separating the streaked and speckled and spotted lamb. God was in that because he tells us there in Genesis that he had a vision from God in a dream, and God revealed to him that how he would give him all this wealth and the way he did this. So we know God was in all that. And so God keeps leading him, and he's almost like, you could say, a new Christian at this point. Even though he's an old man and he's known God all his life because his father, of course, being a godly man, his grandfather. So he's known God, but it doesn't seem he's always followed God or God's will in his life. He does have these great moments in time, such as when he got there at the place and he called it Bethel, the house of God. And that was 20 years before this. And so there's times in the Bible where we read of God speaking to him, and then there's great years pass by where we don't see God speaking directly to him. Now, we're going to see that changes here in our text. And you know that when I was growing up in the 70s, I enjoyed wrestling. You know, we didn't have all the things that kids have today. We didn't have the video games and the videos that you could watch, just stick it in something and watch it. Cartoons only happen on Saturday. Nowadays, cartoons are on all the time. And so for us, something special was to watch Southeastern Championship Wrestling, and that happened on Saturdays. And so I waited all week long to watch my heroes get on there and wrestle. Les Thatcher and Phil Rainey were the announcers. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. And they would announce all these wrestling heroes that would come out, and I would just sit there to wait to see if Bob Armstrong was going to wrestle. I loved to watch Bob Armstrong. The Golden Boys and the Wright Brothers and all these. Then there was, you know, later on there was the other ones that came on. Doug Furness, who was as wide as he was tall, you know. And so these guys were my heroes growing up. The Mongolian Stomper, he was one to be dreaded, you know. Ron Wright, who used to load his boot full of lead, and he would tap his boot and then kick people, you know, unconscious. So this was a lot of fun to watch. Now, I can remember as a young boy going to Sunday school one time, and the Sunday school teacher started teaching about Jacob and wrestling. You better believe my ears perked up. I may not have listened to anything else that year in Sunday school, but when she mentioned wrestling, my ears perked up because I wanted to hear what was going on here. And so I was really interested in that. Now, I'm not a kid anymore, and wrestling today is not the same thing as it was back then. It was real back then. We thought it was. But today's wrestling is not the same. And me as a person, as a man, am not the same. And so I understand this story to be more than just the fascination of someone wrestling. There's a much deeper meaning here, a spiritual meaning. And we find that this event that happened in Jacob's life was a pivotal moment where God used it to transform him into someone else. But he also gave him a new purpose and sense in life. He's going to change it. He changed his name. He's doing something. He put his leg out of socket, which he'll forever be limping from. And so he's become a changed man. Now, the Bible tells us that we become new creatures in Christ when we get saved. Jacob has become a new man in the Lord. Look at verse 24. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." The first thing I want to mention here is that in order for God to bless us, for us to realize what God's potential is for us, he must get us alone. It's not a tag team battle. It's a one-on-one, head-to-head, toe-to-toe battle with the Lord. So while we may do things as groups or families or husband and wives and such, there may be times when God may bless certain things like that. When it comes to our individual sense that God's going to give us the individual duties or responsibilities or the things he wants us to be obedient in, it's a one-to-one relationship, just like with Christ. Your salvation is your salvation. It's not mine. It's not somebody else's. It's individual. And so God must get us alone. You can't bring somebody else along in this thing that God has for you. The best way to get someone's attention is to get them alone. You see, because when you have other people around, it influences the way you think and your response. You don't want to look foolish in front of people like your peers. And so if somebody comes and calls you out and there's a crowd of people, you may say something that you shouldn't have said just because you didn't want to be embarrassed in front of people. Well, God gets you alone so that you're not influenced by other people around you. Because other people around you, the people you follow, your friends you have, the people you work with, when you're around those people, they influence your thinking. They influence your actions and your life. So this relationship with God is one-on-one. We can find ourselves distracted when we're around others. But when we're alone with God, then he can use us to prepare us for what he wants us to do. And that's where we see these blessings begin. Blessings, like we see in our text, often means a wrestling. Oftentimes our blessings come through wrestlings. We wrestle in our walk with the Lord. Now, that sounds crazy. You think, well, what do you mean wrestling in our walk with the Lord? Well, the Bible, tells us in Philippians 2 and 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not that you're working for your salvation, but the things you do in your salvation, the way you live for Christ, you need to work it out on your own. That's what Paul's trying to say here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that, if we accept Christ and that's all we need to do and everything will be hunky-dory. We'll just live life and not be any problems or, live life fancy-free. And I wish that were true. I really do. But that's very far away from the biblical teachings of the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that says we're going to live easy life or fancy-free life once we accept Christ. In fact, the opposite is true. We're going to find that man is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. So we're going to find that we're going to always be seeing problems in our lives. And a lot of these are wrestling matches. Not only do we wrestle with the Lord in our spiritual walk and working out our own salvation, but also we wrestle with other things. Listen to what Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6 and 12. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, it's through these matches like this, these wrestling matches, that we gain our training, we gain our experience, our knowledge, which helps us in the next step that God has for us. And so it's our obedience that he's looking for. And our obedience, unfortunately, a lot of times comes through dealing with these wrestling matches, this trouble that we have here in this life. Well, some people wonder, well, who was this man? The Bible says he wrestled with a man there in verse 24. And there wrestled a man with him. And a lot of times we see this depicted as an angel. As I was looking for pictures to post about the sermon, I was looking for the wrestling match with Jacob and the man, and nearly all of them had this angel with these big old wings, Some of them had this very feminine looking angel, out there with him. I don't believe any of that's true. I believe we can understand that this man he's wrestling with is a pre-incarnate Christ. I believe this is a theophany. This is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. A Christophany is often called. And so it's just like the angel that Abraham was bringing, or when God brought Abraham the news he's going to have a son. I believe that was to be a pre-incarnate Christ as well that was there among those people that was going to destroy Sodom, those angels the Bible talks about. And so these appearances of Christ are all through the Old Testament. He's been around from forever. Christ has always been. He wasn't just born as a baby in Bethlehem. He's always been. And so I believe we can say this is the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate Christ. Another thing I noticed in this, we don't get to pick and choose where we're going to fight the battles. You know, if it was up to us, we'd get our own home ground. We'd know, you know, every time a ball team or something gets together, they'd love to be able to play on their own field because they know that field. They're familiar with that field. And so if we had our choice, we would fight these battles where we know everything the best. It doesn't always work that way. This place Jacob's in, he doesn't know this place. This is a new place to him. And he's come out there, and God has chosen this place to reveal to him these truths and to make him who he wants him to be. So God doesn't do things on our timetable the way that we want him to. And so not only do we have to wrestle for blessings sometimes, it's not always immediate, and it's not always where or when we want it. And so we have to just allow the Lord to work in our lives. Notice that Jacob had to wrestle to the breaking of day. All night long, he's going through this wrestling match. Do you think he wanted to do that? Well, he did there by the end because he didn't want to quit. He wasn't going to let him go. He said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me. So he was tenaciously holding on, which is another one of those things that we're going to talk about here about these blessings. Look at verse 25. It says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's talking about the Lord or the man he was wrestling, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. One of the things you're going to find out in your walk with the Lord and receiving these spiritual blessings is the fact that we sometimes, it's painful. It's painful. A lot of times it's painful. So the road to blessings not without pain. In fact, you'll find some of the greatest blessings in life are the result of something that was very painful in your life. Your growth in the Lord, your spiritual growth, a lot of times happens in the worst times in your life, during the loss of a loved one, the loss of a brother or sister, the loss of a mom or a dad, the loss of a husband or a wife, a loss of your health. Maybe it's cancer you're going through. Maybe a loss of a job or loss of income. All these things that happen to us in our life, these are building blocks in our life, and they're not easy. They're painful, but they help us, and it's how we come out on the other side of what it makes us to be. We may enter into these thinking there's no way that I can handle this, but by the time we come out, if we've relied on the Lord and stayed with him, then we find out that he blesses us through those. There'll be great blessings through these trials we have. And so sometimes in order for God to get our attention, he's got to, disable us. We find here that Jacob has now he's got a disability. You know, if he drove a car these days, he'd get to hang a handicap tag up on the rearview mirror because he can't walk good. He's going to go around limping everywhere he goes. Everybody's going to know when they see him coming. Look, there's Jacob coming. How do you know it's him? Well, look at him, how he's walking. He's limping. So these trials that God has us face in our lives, we may not understand it and they may not seem fair, but they are going to mold us into the spiritual person that God wants us to be. His intention is to bless us, even though we may not be able to see it while we're going through it. The on the other side, we'll figure it out. Look at verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. One of the things you're going to find in receiving these blessings from God, we must endure. There's no place to get off, no place to stop. When you're walking with the Lord, there's not a timeout period where you say, well, Lord, I've walked with you all these years, but right now I'm just not going to. I'm going to stray from this path, and I'm going to go down my own way. I'll get back on the path later on. That's not how it works. To receive a blessing from God and to realize the potential that he has for you and the blessings he has for you, we stick with it. We endure. Keep holding on. Jacob said, I will not let thee go. So if you're determined to be blessed by God, you cannot give up. Most people give up on the slightest little thing that happens in their life. Oh, my goodness, you know, something happened that didn't go the way they thought it would. Well, it must not be God's will that I do this. Be careful when you pronounce things that are not God's will. If God's led you to do something and it's his will, just because the way got hard don't mean it's not. There's going to be times when there'll be roadblocks, there'll be walls, there'll be things happen, but it don't mean that God's closed the door on that. If you want to receive this blessing from God, you got to endure. God may be wanting you to try a different way than what you thought you were going to do. You know, I'm going to do this. You've got it all mapped out, planned out. I'm going to walk this path, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. And God throws a wall up. Are we going to say, uh-oh, I guess not His will. I'm done. I quit. Or are we going to say, how are we going to get past this hurdle? How are we going to do this? And so we pray and we ask the Lord, Lord, guide me here, direct me here. And He'll show us a different path. It wasn't the path that you decided on, but it's one He's got. And it comes off that side and goes down that way, the way you probably didn't want to go. So we've got to endure to receive these blessings. Verse 27, it says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. One of the other things we must understand when we're trying to live in God's will and be blessed by Him, then we need to empty ourselves of us. We have to face reality of who we are. We're nothing but a rotten, dirty, low-down, no-good-for-nothing sinner is what we are. Sinner saved by grace. There's nothing good in us. There's none good. There's none righteous. They all go out of the way. None seek after me, he says. So there's nothing good about us except for what Christ has imputed into us. It's his righteousness that makes anything good in us. So what we must do is realize that. God, I know I'm nothing. And the only way I can do anything is through you. Jacob he's going to have to tell him what his name is. The reason being, listen, he knows what his name is. The angel or the man, God, the Lord here knows who this is. And the reason he asked him his name is because he wanted Jacob to admit to who he was, which was a deceiver. That's what the name Jacob means. What is your name? My name is deceiver. My name is cheater. My name is liar. My name is sinner. Is essentially what he's saying here. And so what he's doing is reminding him of who he is, because he's no longer going to be that same man when he gets done with him. And that's what the Lord does with us. And so while his name might have meant deceiver, liar, supplanter, all this, Jacob, that's what he's saying. I'm no good. Friends, listen, if we want a blessing from God, we must come to him with a true repentant heart, realizing, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm no good. And Lord, I need you. I need to rely on your strength. Listen, we're not fooling God. You cannot fool him. He knows everything about you. The recesses of your heart, the recesses of your mind, every thought, every action, everything you've ever done in your life, everything you're going to do, he knows about. So there's no hiding from him. The Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We'll all stand before God and we'll be naked in front of him. I'm not talking about physically naked. I'm talking about exposed. That's what that means. We'll all stand exposed before God because he sees right through it. Sees right through our charades, right through our pretend, our phoniness, our sin. He sees right through that. And so we must get our stubborn will out of the way. Jacob's entire life has been a deceiver, a liar, a cheat. He has to come to the reality that that is who he is at the time. Look at verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So the Lord tells Jacob, listen, you're no longer Jacob. You're no longer the liar, deceiver, you know, the supplanter. You're no longer him. In fact, you are now Israel, which means God prevails. That's what that means. And so when God gets a hold of us, we're forever changed. We're no longer who we once were. I like the way Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says this in verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're no longer the same person. Once you've been saved, you're now a new creature in Christ, and you're no longer this old person. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him, and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. The reason Jacob's asking the Lord his name here is most likely to pay tribute to him. So when he's going to offer up a sacrifice or pay some type of tribute, he wants to know the name to use of who he's doing this for. Same thing Moses did when he's standing there. "What is your name?" He said, and God told him, "I am." Tell him, Moses said, "Who am I going to tell him that sent me here?" And he says, "Tell him I am. I am that I am." But notice the last sentence there, and he blessed him there. That's what it said in verse 29. He blessed him there. So Jacob's perseverance has paid off. He made it through the Royal Rumble. He's made it through the wrestling match. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. One of the things that happens, or that needs to happen, when God does take us through this spiritual journey, and when we go through life and we go through these lessons and these hard roads and these wrestling matches, these rumbles that we go through, when it's all over and done with, we need to make sure that we acknowledge God, thank God, praise God, and give glory to Him for these blessings. The last time we read about God speaking directly to Jacob was 20 years earlier. The only time other than that was when in the dream that he had about the cattle. And so we don't see God directly talking to him except for 20 years previous to this. And so in that time, well, there was a great event that happened there as well. If you remember that, when God spoke to him there, and he was laying his head there on that rock, and he set up an altar there to worship him. And he said, "The name of this place is Beth-El," is what he said, "the house of God." Beth meaning the house, and El meaning Elohim or God is what that means. Bethel is the house of God. Well, here he names this place in accordance to what he's done. He saw the face of God is what he's saying. Peniel, the face of El, Elohim, God. I saw the face of God himself. And so he named that place that. And so this is the way he's given God the glory for it. We ought to name our own places that. Well, this ought to be Bethel. This ought to be the house of God. This ought to be the place where we can see God's face, Peniel. Verse 31, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Now, don't let the difference in the spelling here in the Bible mess you up. In the previous verse, it was called it Peniel with an I. This one is Peniel with a U. This is different variations in the spelling of this. I cannot find all the studying I've done on this through the years. I've never found anything to state that there was some difference here of why this was spelled differently. It's just an alternate spelling as far as I can tell. But don't even think about that. It's not important. What's important is here, it says, and he passed from Peniel, the sun rose over him, and he halted upon his thigh. The important part is, once God gets a hold of you, He changes you forever. Now that he's wrestled in this royal rumble with Jacob, and he's touched the hollow of his thigh, and now his thigh come out of joints. What's happened? His hip has come out of socket, and he's limping on it. It says he halted upon it. That means he wearily walked that way. And so God touched him, and it changed him forever. He'll never be the same. He wasn't going to go to a chiropractor and say, "I need to get this right here fixed. This is bothering me a lot. I'm limping on it." No, he didn't have that. He's going to forever be limping. And it'll be a constant reminder of that blessing God gave him. Because the Bible said he blessed him there. In verse 29, he blessed him. And so he'll remember this is the result of a blessing. It's when I wrestled with God. It's when I saw God face to face. I saw Elohim as we wrestled there together. And so when God touches us, we'll forever walk differently. No more will we think or act the same way that we once did. If you're still thinking and acting the same way you were before you got saved, there's a good chance that you never really understood salvation. There's a good chance you didn't ever really get saved. I know that there's times when we will backslide, we'll stumble, our old sins that beset us will come back and creep up on us. But when they do, it makes us sick Once you're saved, those old sins, those things like that, you don't want to do them. You might still do them, but it's going to bother you. Before, it didn't bother you. But once you're saved, it ought to bother you. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a difference. You'll be forever changed. Never again to walk the same walk you once did. And so he'll always have this limp. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And finally, look at our last verse, verse 32. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So one of the things you're going to find out in your spiritual walk is when you do receive these blessings from God, when you do go through these wrestling matches, it not only affects you, but it affects other people. You see what's happened. Forever and ever and ever, God's people will be changed because of this one event. They're not going to eat any of the meat that comes from the socket, the hip joints of any animal ever. And so this changed a whole race of people, changed the whole culture. And so not only does our Christian walk affect us, but it affects other people around us. It affects your family, your children, your coworkers, your peers. It affects everyone that you come in contact. And so, fathers and mothers, you know, if you submit your life to the Lord Jesus, it's going to have effect on your children. Kids, it'll have an effect upon the people you know, because you won't behave or speak or act the same way that the lost people act. And so that'll be present in your life. People will see that in your life. So a decision to live for the Lord Jesus might make a difference in whether or not your children, your family, whether or not they come up in the admonition of the Lord. There's generations now. There's like two or three generations that are removed from the church now that people have never been. That used to never happen right here where we live. In this area that we call the Bible Belt here in East Tennessee, it used to be that everyone went to church. Everybody understood the things about the Lord, whether they, you know, were religious or Christian or not. They knew about them because their family, that's what their family did. Nowadays, no, you can meet people that's never been in a church that was born and raised right here where we are. And that's just, it's crazy to think of. But it's the truth, because these generations that's been removed from all these things of the Lord. And that's what will happen. So your actions will affect other people. It may be generations to come. Your decision to say, you know what, I've had it with church. I'm not going back to church. It's not for me. That one decision can affect people years and years from now. Because you stop going, your kids say, well, my parents don't go, I'm not going. And if you don't go, your kids, their kids will never hear anything about church or the Lord. And so you see how that works. And so the generations after you won't know anything about the Lord. There'll be that lost generation out there of sinners that living out in this world that are removed from God, that doesn't know it. And those people will go to hell if they don't come to the knowledge of Christ and receive Christ as their Savior. They'll go to hell. And it can be because of one person's bad decisions. So remember, this royal rumble that you go through, it's not going to only affect you. It'll affect generations to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for the message today. I pray that it's been helpful. Lord, thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those listening online. God, we pray if there's one that needs help today, Lord, that they'll receive that help from you. God, that all we have to do, Lord, is just come to you, Lord. I know you're standing there, outstretched arms, waiting to receive us, God. If there's one that needs help, Lord, if you'll guide them, Lord, if they need to reach out to us, Lord, have them do that. But God, we're just praying that you help each one. Lord, we thank you for everything you bless us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.